welcome to a brand new episode of the internet's most hated mafia-themed geek podcast, Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the one, the only, Reverend Godfather, a.k.a. the Martinsburg Madman, a.k.a. this show's frontman and main host. Though our first bit of con coverage was our exhausted recap of Four State Comic-Con Hagerstown 2024, but this time, this episode, we share with you our first official piece of content that we got at the Four State Comic-Con event. And this is the first panel we were allowed to record. Special thanks to Nick Davis for allowing us to record his Creating Comic Books panel. So, that being said, find out how you could create your own comic books on a budget. Now, standard disclaimers are in order, which means this is Nick's panel, his content, his views, and so forth. Just wanted to let you know that we did no real editing in regards to trimming what Nick said or anything like that. So, again, everything he said is his own. And the other disclaimer is that because the panels were not in a closed room, so we always do the best we can with what equipment we have. So, hey George, cue up the panel and hit play!
We'll be right back with more of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. As you personally know, anything to do with the internet will screw up on you eventually. Anyway, my name's Nick Davis, and today I'm going to be talking to you about creating comic books, an indie perspective. What does that mean? That means, basically, I'm going to give you a quick primer how to create your own comic book with basically no money whatsoever. Okay, so are we all ready for the ride here? Yeah, thank you. Again, I do apologize for the wait. As we know, we're basically trying like four different devices, and I'm actually using an Apple device here. So I guess is what they say, anything on Apple just works. Kind of disappointed though, that's just me. Okay, so creating comic books, an indie perspective. Everything you need to know about getting a comic book started and the greatest storytelling medium on the planet. Why do I say comic books are the greatest storytelling medium on the planet? Because there's no limit to your imagination. You don't have to worry about writing too much. And you can draw and show whatever you like. So if you take one lesson away from this panel today is do not be afraid to do your story. Okay, let's get started. So who am I? My name is Nick Davis. I think I've already said that. As you can tell from my terrible, terrible accent, I am English, so I do apologize if you only catch one word in TED. In fact, if you do catch one word in TED, that means you're doing pretty good, because basically, as Gina can tell you over there, she only catches like one word in 20. Also, by the way, I'm not Australian, but I do get that a lot, so don't worry about it. So, what have I been doing for the last 30 years? Well, for the last 30 years, I am a graphic designer, which means I basically do publishing as a living. I work in publications, I've been doing magazine and internet publishing for 30 plus years, as you can tell from the grey in my beard, and it's been a lot of fun. But for the last 15 years, I've been doing something I've always wanted to do, comic books. I enjoy making comic books, I enjoy telling stories in the comic book format, and we'll see why on the next slide there. Or in case somebody kind of wondering, going, he looks kind of familiar, about 25 years ago I used to work in White Dwarf for Games Workshop. So, what are my influences? Well, in England, our comic books are a little bit different from over here. Over here, you have lots of superhero comic books. In England, it's all about anthologies. So behind me, you see comic books like The Beano, which, anybody heard of The Beano? That's okay. It's a very obscure English comic book. How about 2000 AD? I see some nods out there for 2000 AD. Also, some of the other comic books you see there is Warlord, Action, and Battle. England's got a weird fascination with the war. growing up, I read a lot of what you call war comic books. Over here, you've got like GI Combat, Sergeant Rock, and that kind of thing, though your war comics over there. We had Warlord, Action, and Battle, where people really died in front of us. It was a very traumatic childhood. Also, we have basically see a comic book there called Tiger. Tiger was a sports comic book. So, it was a comic book telling stories of sports heroes. War of the Rovers, anybody heard of that over here? Okay, that's fine. Sometimes people go, yeah, I remember Roy the Rovers. I go, really? That's fantastic. But that is what the Tiger's all about. These were weekly comic books, 24 pages, 6-page stories, 1, 2, 3, 4 different stories in each comic book. It forces you to read different stories and different tales. I still think anthologies are wonderful. But over here, you're all about the superheroes. Now, what you're seeing behind me there is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Turtle power. You see, that's my best turtle impression? Okay. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is the comic book that basically blew my mind. Why did it blow my mind? You had two creators, Peter Laird and Kevin Eastman, and what did they do? They just created their comic book. They said, screw this, we're just going to do what we want to do. And they sat down there in their little house in Connecticut and go, we're going to make a comic book. And they did. I think this book's about, 32, 42 pages, if I remember rightly. And it was a single one-shot story. And I read it back in 1989. Yes, I am that old. And it blew my mind because these were guys doing what they wanted to do with their characters. Indie comic book publishing is about that, my friends. It's about doing what you want to do with your characters, what you want to do, and doing your story. It could be superheroes, it could be Ninja Turtles, it could be, in my case, teddy bears. And you make your stories that you want to make. Because here's an interesting thing. I didn't encounter American superhero comic books to the mid-90s. And my first ever American superhero comic book, which I basically found in Waterstones, England, there's a posh name, right? Waterstones, was Justice League Europe. Anybody here's read Justice League? Yeah, this was the DeMantis Griffin era, so it was hilarious comic books. I picked it up, I looked inside the story, a lot of B stringers there, you can see Captain Atom in the front there. I read the story and I laughed out loud. If you ever look at any Justice League books, I fully recommend the DeMantis Griffin era. I was in the middle of this bookstore, and Waterstones are pretty push bookstore, just in case you're wondering, laughing my head off at this comic book. It was hilarious. It was superheroes living in basically what I can only say is the MTV real world. It was hilarious. I loved it. Fantastic. So we've got the Turtles influencing me there, and with Justice League Europe, with Griffin and DeMantis going, hey, you can put humor in your books. So I created books. These are my books here. Don't worry, we'll get to the good stuff in a moment. These are the books I've created over the last 15 years. We have the Terra Anthology, which is written books. We have the Wonder Tales, which are fairy tales. We have Exposition, which is my first superhero book. Exposition is my love letter to superheroes. Everything, it breaks the fourth wall. We have comic books and narrative in one place, where basically a comic book writer gets to horrible writer's block and kind of jumps between a comic book universe and a written universe. Then we have my teddy bear books here, heading into the Night Guardians. Night Guardians are the tales of heroic kids and cuddly toys who protect you from the monsters of the bed. They are all ages fantasies. Then we go into Mr. Button's one-shot there. Mr. Button's one-shot is basically a teddy bear who's kind of broken and kind of goes after the monsters on the bed in a sort of like very Death Wish style. And then we have Team D, Dream Warriors, Giant Size Adventures, and Let's Hunt Monsters, which is my latest comic book. Which basically are variations of the fantasy adventures using kids and cuddly toys to basically take on a boy gun. My stories are fantasy adventures, basically based roughly from the 80s, like the Labyrinth and that kind of thing. They're fun adventures. Come on, check it out in my booth right at the back there. Right, let's get started. This is what you came here for, right? You came here to basically learn a little bit how to get started in the comic books. Very simply, you just need... Do you have any pick up this primer today? This is available on the front desk, out the front there. It's how to make a comic book out of a piece of paper into a fun and fancy four-page comic book with a poster flourish at the end. Impress your friends, make a comic book. But the tools you really need to make a comic book are very simple. You need an idea. That's pretty simple, right? You need a pencil, yeah? Everybody's got a pencil. And a piece of paper. For example, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they were drawing that thing on basically ruled paper for writing on. I have seen so much artwork on ruled paper writing on, that's how I started. The line paper you get in basically your college books and that sort of thing. We all drew on that, didn't we? But it really is, starting the comic book is that simple. An idea, a pencil, a piece of paper, and sitting there and just doing it. Of course, there's always some tools that could help you along the way. Faber-Castell pens are usually pretty good. If you can't find anything to outline them like that, get a gel pen. Paintbrush and a bottle of ink if you're feeling really adventurous. Trust me, use the pens. Microns and Sharpies, And of course, the paper usually helps as well. So Bristol Media Paper, Otis Tape, and that sort of thing. But the most important rule to creating anything, to drawing anything is, and this is the most important rule I'm going to impart to you guys here is, don't be afraid to suck. Sucking is the first brave step in getting good at anything. Don't be afraid of that. Remember, we all basically didn't know how to walk, right? Crawl. We crawled, and we walked, and we stumbled. Remember, your parents taught you to use a spoon. So, do not be afraid to suck. Once you go through the suck, you start getting good. You keep repeating, and eventually that suck doesn't suck quite as much. Of course, if you're drawing the pages yourself, and you're an artist, your work's going to suck all the time, because you're an artist and you always judge yourself. But don't judge yourself too harshly. Just don't be afraid to suck and get started. The second rule I always say of creating comic books is keep it simple. People come to me and say, hey, I've got this great idea for a comic book, and it's blah, 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 blah. This guy's going to go into this fantasy land, and he's going to rescue the princess, and he's going to do a cavalry charge, and it's going to be Lord of the Rings, it's going to be fantasy and epic. And I go, that is fantastic. Go draw it. They go, I don't know how. Can you draw it for me? I went, I don't know how. I can't draw horses. So I always say, keep it simple. Comic book storytelling is a little bit different, because it's basically a script with narrative and a description. When you're starting out, I always recommend 4 panels. If you can tell a story in 4 panels, short and sweet, as we can see up here, even though it's not the best AV in the world, it's a panel of basically 2 teddy bears setting up a shot that basically hunt monsters, and how they get completely ignored by everybody. 4-panel stories. Start with those. If you feel comfortable doing 4 panels, then go to 6 panels on a full page. 6 panels, do a 2-page story. 2-page story, do a 4-page story. And so on and so on and so forth. You teach yourself how to tell stories in this medium, and you go forward. Remember, every single panel is a snapshot, like in a movie. But what if you can't draw? Well, some say I can't draw. In fact, many people say I can't draw if you see my artwork, but hey, that's the way it is. I always say, you can always tell a story. That's Stickman. Stickman by Mark Minux. You can find it online. He does stories for basically, well, stickmen, right? And you can actually tell really good stories with his stickmen just there. I think he did a Zap one-page comic book for, his name will come back to me, and we'll get to his page in a second. Scott McCloud, is it? Scott McCloud. He did a Zap comic book just using stickmen. As you can see, that's how it is. Now, I can't tell you how to draw, and I can't tell you how to write, because that's really up to you. If you're doing a comic book and you're writing the comic book, all I can say is, think of it as a movie script. Set the scene, set the characters, set what they're saying, and then try to draw it. It is that's all you have to do. So that's what I always recommend you do, that sort of thing. I'm not going to show you an example scripts on here, because that could be a really big deep dive. All I can say is, go online, check them out, they're everywhere. You can do crazy Alan Moore stuff, where basically he writes a whole novel before he writes the comic book script. Or you can do like a hybrid, which I do, which is kind of like half Alan Moore, half me. Or you can just write the script. But write it as a movie script. It does work that way. Do not be afraid to basically blast through it and come back to it again and fill in the blanks. Now, if you're basically just a writer and you say you employ a creative, this is a very important thing. It's your story, right? You're employing somebody to draw it for you, okay? Make sure you pay them. An artist cannot live on exposure books. Now, actually, the joke I usually run here is, too much exposure can kill you. Because you beat out the elements, you expose the elements, you've got nothing coming out, it'll kill you. That's the thing. And you can't eat exposure books. You just can't. It's impossible. So, unless you get a good collaborative going on with somebody, which I have with a couple of people, and you basically share the profits, that's good to go. But you, as the creator of that book, unless you're single-handedly writing and drawing, and publishing, which I do a couple of my books, you get paid last. Pay your artist. Be good to the people that you employ, because if you're not good to them, they won't work for you again, and they won't go out their way to basically give you a good page. So always make sure you pay your people. That's my PAA on that sort of thing. But if you can write, write your script. As we mentioned this before, it's very simple to write a script. You basically write what's going on in the panel. You set the scene. I'm Stig Davis is here. He's standing in front of a stage with a microphone in his hand, looking out on an audience of people with blank faces going, I can't understand a word he's saying. It's like one word in 20. This is terrible. But he's standing there and he's looking rather nervous and he's stumbling over his words and he's pacing back and forth. We do a crowd shot, seeing on the crowd, looking back to me, blank faces going, oh my God, what's he saying to me? Now he's putting us on the spot by looking at us. And then we basically reverse the scene and look at Nick Davis looking at the car going, I'm really frightened talking to all these people. But that's basically how you do the script. So you basically set the scene, set the character's doing, set the emotion in the scene, and then you do the dialogue. Now, unfortunately, all the dialogue that's coming out of my mouth today is probably a bit too big for a comic book page, and this is a one-page splash. But that's how you do it. Again, I can't show you a full example of how to do this. You can come speak to me at my table about this. I can point you in certain different directions. But in this case, I always say, again, look online. Other useful tools. Okay, we draw the comic book. We've got the script, and we've got these beautiful pages. How do we letter them? Now, I can tell you the old way of lettering them, but we don't want to go down that road. I use various mediums to help me. Now, as I've said before, I'm a professional graphic designer, so I basically use professional design tools to do my scripting. I don't expect anybody here to do that at all. There is tools out there that help you do comic book pages. One I've used here, you see up there, is called POW. It's online, it's about, I think, about $10, and that's it, you don't pay anything else for it. And it gives you all the tools you need to put basically put your images into panels and script your pages with word balloons. It's called POW, check it out, I absolutely 100% we recommend it. I did my entire Hero TED book using POW. So it's a very useful tool, it gives you everything you need to do to script your pages. Now the second thing, you're going to run into as an indie creator, we never have any money. Say that now, I've got no money at all. This is like, you know, 10-year-old jacket I'm wearing here. So how do you get your books published? Well, you can do it out of your own pocket, which is fantastic and great. You can get somebody to go, hey, I really love your idea and I'm going to publish it for you. That will hardly ever happen at this level. But if you keep working towards it, it probably will do. So obviously, we've all heard of crowdfunding, right? Kickstarter? Anybody here's back to Kickstarter in the last month? I have. Crowdfunder. It's okay, you've never heard of that one. It's a bit of an obscure one. Indiegogo, that sort of thing. I'm sure some of us here have basically gone to Kickstarter and gone, we're backing some comic books. That's how you get your money. Give them a product, put it out there, supply that product. But how do I print my books? Now, I cannot do what the Turtle Boys did back in the day. They basically borrowed their money from their uncle and printed about 3,000 comic books. I don't know how much it cost them, but they had a little bit of tax money put together and they had a borrow from Uncle Summers or something like that. We are living in a very different age. We do not have to go to a printer and go, please print my comic book. How much do I have to print before you give me a break? 2,000 copies. You have 2,000 copies sitting in your spare room, in your attic or in your garage. We don't have to do that anymore. And that's fantastic because we have print on demand. Has anybody heard of print on demand before? Thank you, sir. Stuff like KDP Publishing for Amazon, Barnes & Noble Press, Comics Wellspring, Kablam, they all do print on demand. So for Comics Wellspring and Kablam, you do have a minimal order you have to do, 25 copies, and they will print it for you and basically get it back to you. There's no out-of-pocket expenses to get your book printed. It's very simple. And if you do basically get a printed media through Comics Wellspring and Kablam, I will tell you now, you'll only be out of pocket for less than $100. I mean, I know it's to say, do it on a shoestring budget, but in case you have to pour some money into your projects, and $100 in this day and age is a pair of shoes. So, it's not a horrible, unattainable thing to do, or you can just go through the KDB printing or Barnes & Noble printing, Nook Press, and you can get the book out there on their service, and you can order one book at a time, or add links to your listings on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and they'll print it for you. I'll tell you now, it'll cost you about $6 a unit to do that sort of thing for a comic book, or $7-$8 depending on your page count. But also, I'll also tell you this now, it can be unreliable sometimes. Sometimes you have some weird printing errors. You ever come over to my table, I'll show you a book that has the weirdest printing error in the world in it. But it's a good way of getting your books out there and printing. Of course, here we go. I'm showing my age now by saying we are on the digital era, the interwebs. Yeah, like it never happened, right? Oh my gosh, I remember back in 1993 when the internet first appeared in the studio I was working in, and we were all excited standing around this computer going, whoa, we can talk to anybody in the world out there. and then we crashed our internet connection. So out there we have social media, obviously we have all the big hitters out there, make use of them, you know. Nobody, success won't come overnight, but if you keep repeating your work, showing good work and not stopping and showing your work, stuff will appear. You can publish your comics as comic strips on Webtoons or Tapas, though I would recommend Webtoons over Tapas. You can publish them through Instagram, Snapchat, if really we just want people to look at it once. And also we have Threads, we have TikTok for as long as TikTok stays here. And of course the World Wide Web, and make your own web pages. Now here's the fun bit. Okay. Where do you start with a comic book? We're in a comic convention, your reference material is all around you. Don't not be afraid to look at these comic books and go, I really like that panel, I'm going to borrow that panel. It's called swiping, yeah, but hey, you're putting your own twist on it, do not be afraid to do that, okay? I also recommend, I'm going to point to it on the screen if you guys can see it, Understanding Comics by Scott McCloud. That is a fantastic book. I'm not getting any money for shilling for him, just so you know. There's no affiliation thing here. That is a great book. I picked up Understanding Comics 2 years ago. It changed my philosophy for storytelling. He really delves into basically how the comic book world has started, where comic books have started. Do you know comic books are over 2,000 years old? I didn't know that. They are. It will change your understanding of comic books. And I show you how to draw comics the Marvel way. And we have Christopher Hart's reference books for modern cartooning and that sort of thing. Real-life references, the internet, that kind of thing are very, very useful. This, bizarrely enough, I know this sounds strange for a Marvel product, how to draw comic books the Marvel way actually is very useful to work through. It will give you some understanding about storytelling. It's really good that way. But I do highly recommend Understanding Comics by Scott McCloud. Now, we're about near the end of this presentation here, and I do thank you all for hanging with me for this long. Anybody heard of Jack Kirby? Anybody heard of Jack Kirby? Anybody? Jack Kirby is the king of comics, the originator of the comic book storytelling. Jack Kirby basically invented the modern comic books. He also worked for Marvel, worked for DC, did some work for Image Comics as well. He is the gold standard of comic book storytelling. I know you look at some of his art and go, oh my god, what's going on that page? But you return to it and really look into the storytelling going on that page, you will be absolutely blown away with what he does with it. Now, Jack Kirby says, learn to control what you can. Learn to control what you have. Learn to refine what you have. Damn perfection, you do not have to be perfect. Perfection is the enemy of getting something done. I know you're going to look at your work as an artist and go, I absolutely hate that. Trust me, I do that too all the time. But then you start going, okay, does it tell what I want it to tell? Does it tell the story? Is it perfect? No, it's not. I will give you another tip I've learned trying to comic books recently. It's not about the image on the page. Yes, it tells the story. It's about the emotion on the page. Every panel has to display the emotion of that character at that stage. That's where you see fast frenetic lines if they're going into a fight. You can have close-ups on their faces when they're really, really worried about something. Display an emotion in that page. Once you get stopped doing the emotion and you get rid of the, you lose the realism, because you can get basically really, really caught up in drawing how many laces on a boot and that sort of thing. You get a story. When we look at the stories in the movies, yes, they're realistic and they do historical research, which isn't a terrible thing for people to nitpick at it. But if you sit down and really look at a story and watch a movie in a story, you're not really watching that. You're watching the emotion of those characters. I've just recently finished watching Shogun. Not the most fantastically action-heavy story, because it's not, but the emotions of the characters and the sheer suspense and the way they were basically interacting, all the characters were interacting with each other, was absolutely amazing. So, where did I put that phone? It's over there. So, what I recommend is just show the emotions. Do not get caught up in basically high details. If you can do that and do that really well and it satisfies you, please do it. But it's about the emotion of the storytelling. Now my favorite style of the entire thing, sucking at something is the first step to becoming sort of good at something. It's that true. I suck at things. I really do. We all do. As I said before, remember, your parents taught you how to use a spoon? So, do not be afraid to suck. You don't have to show anybody what you're doing when you first begin. It's not a spectator sport. You can sit up in your room and basically keep drawing until you've got something that kind of clicks with you and go, yeah, that's kind of okay. I'm okay with that. And then you can just keep moving forward from there. So do not be afraid to suck. You're going to suck. You're going to hate what you do. It's fine. It's absolutely fine to feel that way. We all feel that way. Neil Gaiman still feels that way about everything he writes. He gets halfway through a book, he calls his agent and goes, I really hate what I'm writing here. And his agent goes, yeah, you told me about the last book and see what happened there. So, it's okay to suck at things. Because you're on the road to being really good at that thing. And I always tell everybody who comes to me and asks me, how do I get started? And I said, you've took the first step. The next step is to sit down and do a pencil. Or the next step is to sit down and write something. And do not be afraid it looks horrible, because it will. But you've took the bravest step. Sucking at something means you get kind of good at doing something. And that, my friends, concludes the How to Create an Indie Comic Book on a Shoestring Budget panel. Does anybody have any questions for me? Okay, let's go to the back here.
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good. I have two questions. My first question is, wouldn't it be better, doing a physical comic then uploading it to the internet, or just straight up doing it online first?
Okay. So, there's two ways of doing this, and what the young lady's asking here is, do you do a physical comic and upload it to the internet, or do it online first? There's no good way answer to this. I can tell you this now, I draw my comics in a digital medium, then I upload them that way. So, it's okay. Whatever you choose to do, you're getting started. Is that both questions or just one first question? Second question.
My second question is, if you're starting to work on a comic, but then you don't have the plot or get too stuck at it, what do you do then?
Yeah, I know that one. What's just asked there is basically, if you're working on a comic book, and you get to a point in that comic book, and you kind of get stuck. Everybody gets stuck. Don't worry about that. That's the thing. First off, don't panic. Honestly, I made that. Do not panic about that. That's the first thing about it. Second thing is, step away. Just go, okay, I'm done for the day. I can't do anything else right now. Go for a walk. Walk the dog. Play with the dog. Play some computer games. Write a book. No, not write a book. Read a book. That way, you're unloading from your mind and you're going offline for what you're trying to do. Come back after that, look at the page afresh of what you're writing, and I guarantee you, you will find a way through that. I also say, if you get stuck writing a thing, try that same thing, and you come back to that piece of work, and you can't still find the way, just write words. Just write them. And eventually, those words you put up on that page will become something. So just write. And same thing with drawing, if you come back to that page, even if you basically just completely disconnect yourself from that work and you can't do it, get another piece of paper and just draw the character. And go, okay, you know what, I'm stuck here, I'm just going to sit here and draw this character for a couple of minutes and see if anything pops into my head. And you're going to find something will pop in your head. Now, see that comic book there, Let's Hunt Monsters? That comic book was written five lines, I scripted five lines in that entire comic book. I did six pages of really rough, loose, horrible layouts with stick figures, and then it's an entire 32 pages of improv. I knew where the story was going to start, I knew where the story was going to end, I had no idea where it was going to go in between. I just knew there was this thing in my head that I wanted to get out, and at every single page, and you'll see it after the first six pages, you can tell the pages turn a little bit different. They get a little bit more loose. They get a little bit more unpredictable. You're not sure what's going to happen next because I'm improvising. I'm going, okay, I want my character, Mr. Button, get to the end of this page and he has to hit something. And that's what I did. So don't be afraid. Just step away. All will be good. That's what I do. And then you go back in and you'll find your way. It won't end your work. You will be okay, trust me. Does anybody have any other questions? Okay, you're next at the lady with the tiger mask.
It's a Rottweiler.
Oh, sorry, Rottweiler. I do apologize. It's a Rottweiler, everybody.
What's your favorite ink pen you've used?
My favorite ink pen? Oof. Let me think this a second. I use Faber-Castell pit pens. I use them because they were there for me, there more than anything else. I actually do like them though. Out of the Faber-Castell pit pens, I can tell you the fine point is the one I use the most, because I feel that's the one that has the most flow on the nib. I've been using a couple of Microns recently for big heavy outlining. I'm kind of like 50-50 on those. But I will say, Faber-Castells are good pens to use. They're actually fairly cheap entry point as well. They give you a good solid archival ink. Archival ink means it doesn't fade in the sunlight. Okay, also something I want to add to that, and it'll come to me in a second. Yes, I did mention further back that I inked using a bottle of ink and a paintbrush. I have drawn a Calvin and Hobbes homage using that. I have no idea how Bill Watterson does it. I have no idea how guys like Kirby, Walter Simonson, all those guys back in the day inked with a paintbrush and ink. I have no idea, because I was cursing up a storm when I was doing my Calvin and Hobbes thing, because the ink ran out on the brush, I couldn't get the lines right, and all kinds of things. So, if you decide to go, I'm going to go old school with a paintbrush and ink, be prepared to curse a lot. But my favorite sort of pen is the pit pens. Does that answer your question? Fantastic. Okay, one for the Ewok in the front.
Thank you. Great presentation, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
My question is, you had mentioned that services like Barnes & Noble will print some of your pages. Do they also offer like distribution services, like physical distribution?
Okay. So the question is, do basically Amazon or Barnes & Noble offer distribution services if they print your work? Yes. That's a very simple answer to that question. The moment you create a product in Amazon or Barnes & Noble, you have the option to put it on their website. It doesn't cost anything to do that, so I'd recommend doing that. Okay? There's also an option more with Amazon than Barnes & Noble, where you can go to something called expanded distribution, which means it makes your book available to bookstores and book networks. Now, Amazon is a pay-to-play model in some ways, so the more distribution you add to your book, the less money you get back in royalties. So just be aware of that if you do that option. But the answer is yes, these Barnes & Noble and Amazon will give the option to basically do a bigger distribution. Comics Wellspring and Kablam both have indie comic book stores, so they pretty much do the same sort of thing as well. And I believe Kablam and now Comics Wellspring are starting to look to distribute into comic book stores as well. Now, I'll let you know how that goes. Because I'm hip deep in Comics Wellspring. If it goes really well, it'll be part of the presentation. If it goes really bad, it will be part of the presentation. I'm hoping for success there. Okay, any other questions? Guy in this front suit of armor. Oh, look at that. Actually, one second. That's Mr. Button, everybody. That's the character in my book over there. You got Jason Soldier voicing there, didn't you?
Yes.
That's fantastic. Sure, fire away.
Is this Stonkers?
Okay, I'm English, as you can tell. One of the words I use a lot is stonkers! Stonkers is slang in my country, especially around my hometown, for very, very good. Yes, sir, that is stonkers. Okay, do we have any other questions? Oh! The cameras just fell apart over there, ladies and gentlemen. That's going to be a fun thing to put on the YouTube video. Okay, any more questions, anybody? Going once, going twice. Question to the guy in the blue in the back. Everybody's looking at you, sir. Okay, guys, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much for coming out to see my panel today. You guys have been stonkers. Please visit my table. It's right at the back of the artist alley there. You'll see the big banner that says Let's Hunt Monsters in the back there. My name has been Nick Davis. I am a creator of independent comic books, and you guys have been a stonker of an awesome audience. Thank you very much.
And now, the Long Coat Mafia Podcast.
It's a Long Coat Mafia Podcast!
You screwed it up.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed Nick Davis's panel titled Creating Comic Books. If you have any questions, comments, or what have you, I'll be putting a link to Nick Davis's website in the description down below, or wherever that might be on the platform you're listening on. But if you anything else or you don't want to visit the website, you could always email us directly your thoughts or your ideas, your questions, or what have you, by sending that email to longcoatmafia@gmail.com. And on that note, the only thing I'm going to say is stay tuned for the interview episode that will be next, and the other two panels that will be posting up next week. So stay tuned. Hit that follow, hit that subscribe button, rate us, review us. If you're listening to us on Podbean or on Good Pods, remember, on these platforms, you're able to rate and review each episode. So if you have any questions or comments or what have you, you could put that in that box. And don't forget, like the other platforms, don't forget to hit that follow or that subscribe button, so that way you could get the episodes once they drop. Remember, like we said, not only is hitting that follow or subscribe button the best way you could support the show, downloading and listening is also a great way. All our links to our social media are in the description. Hopefully in the platform that you're listening to us, they're clickable. Following us on those platforms helps us out because it is free, as always. If you want to support our channel through any type of funds, we do have a tip jar, we do have a Patreon, we do have a kind of a sponsor partner, W Energy, Longcoat. That's not Longcoat. LCM Podcast is our code for 10% off. So if you want to support us that way, you're more than welcome to. But for whatever reason, you can't do that. Following us on social media like Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, or Twitter, that's wonderful. That helps us out greatly. Following us on the podcast platform of choice, whatever that may be, is another great way. So please support us, rate us, review us. It helps us out. That being said, see you the next episode. Remember, I'm the Reverend Godfather, a.k.a. the Martinsburg Madman, and
I'm a gamer. I'm wearing a bikini.
See you next time on the Longcoat Mafia.